welcome to the Entrepreneur Success Formula podcast, where we'll be getting down to earth with real entrepreneurs who work hard and know that success is more than a mindset, because it takes blood, guts, and a bucket full of luck to survive and thrive in the world of business today. And in this episode, which is now episode 8, I should add, I am speaking with Adam Harris, the introducer, who specializes in providing leaders with the insights and tools they need to develop expertise in making the right introductions and leverage this knowledge for strategic sales success. This is going to be a good one. But you don't get to the top without working hard to get there. Adam's made a name for himself by becoming the youngest Vistage chair on record in the history of the entire universe. So, Adam, the introducer, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm very well. Very well indeed. So let's crack in with the usual set of questions. And if we go slightly off piece, that's good too. So how did you get your first customer?
So my first customer actually was, I suppose it was Sainsbury's. So I was 15. We needed to do work experience. And I looked at the local area and worked out, okay, where could I get a job as a result afterwards? And who was going to pay the most amount of money? And where I was going to learn the most amount of skills. So I proactively did my research within the area at 15 and worked out that Sainsbury's was going to be the best option. So I went along. They weren't doing work experience at the time. And I just said, look, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And they said, okay, we'll take you on a week's work experience. And then by the second day, they'd offered me a part-time job, which is exactly what I was looking for. So that's how I got my first customer.
Brilliant. I like it. So hold on, you're 15, right?
Yep.
So how long have you been going now then?
So I was 40 this year.
Okay. So that's not bad. You've had a good old, you've had a good run so far.
Yeah. Still got most of my my hair.
I was going to say, you're doing all right, yeah.
A few grey hairs coming through.
Fantastic. So where did the car wash come in?
So it was probably a few years before. We lived on a kind of a long street with kind of a bit at the end, kind of like a turning circle. And I was always entrepreneurial, always wanted to kind of earn some money. And I just said to my brother, I said, why don't we just start washing cars? So we started washing cars and then we started getting quite a bit of a demand. So what I ended up doing was I ended up roping in some of the other kids on the street. We would do the sales, get the sales in, and then I'd get some of the other kids to do the car washing, and obviously we were taking a margin. And one parent got quite irate because she thought that we were, trying to get a press gang organised. You know, she thought that we were extortionating her kids, etc. It's like, there's an opportunity. Your kids want to earn some money. Yeah. I've done the selling. Isn't that what business is all about? And we got to the stage where we kind of ran it for a couple of years, but we would probably ended up doing about kind of 15 to 20 cars per weekend. You know, the customers were happy. It was before the kind of, kind of petrol stations turned into kind of, car washes now. Mm-hmm. And at the time it was just great being outside, had a lot of fun. And I learned a hell of a lot very, very quickly, just being able to kind of knock on people's doors, asking questions. You know, I always kind of think, what's the worst thing that somebody can say? No. Okay. One person says no. Okay. Next person. And then kind of like looking at it and going, well, so you've got two cars. Is there an opportunity to kind of do both cars? And how about we get you booked in for 4 weeks' time? So I learned a lot at a very young, early age.
Nice. I like it. So what has been the biggest mental challenge you've had to overcome as an entrepreneur?
That's a great question. I think I know it's often about self-belief. Mm-hmm. So the ability to trust and know your core skills and competencies, and even when those around you are kind of doubting it, or you perceive, because I think a lot of the times it's about perception, that you perceive that there's doubt, is just really, really sticking to what you know and what your gut tells you and just pushing through. And while everybody else is kind of, doubting you, You've just got to find that willingness inside of you to know what is key and what's important. And that's really, really tough. And I think for me, that often is probably the difference between, you know, a manager and a leader, is kind of just making a decision, sticking to it, and kind of go from, I mean, there's a phrase that I picked up through a book called Entrepreneurial Operating System. And they talk about best level thinking. You're never going to be able to get every decision right, but actually it's about going, actually, based on the information that I've got at this moment in time, my best level thinking means that that's the best decision I can make. If I need to then change it at a later date, I can and I will, but I'm moving forward. And I think for me, having that kind of mantra has really stuck with me, and there's been some really, really hard times.
That book sounds amazing. It sounds similar to my entrepreneur success formula. We'll actually talk about something quite similar. As in, if you wake up and you're feeling like crap, right, the last thing you want to be doing is going out and making a big deal decision. So just wait till the clouds pass. There's sunshine behind the clouds. Don't worry about it.
And I think sometimes you've got to acknowledge that you need to go through that phase. Yeah. And actually understand, or try to understand, okay, what's my body or my mind, or even the universe, depends on your, you know, kind of religious or spiritual affiliation. What is this telling me? You know, that, because it's happening for a reason. And I think sometimes we create ourselves to be really full and really, I ban the word busy from my vocabulary, but we create this environment where we just really push. And actually, sometimes we've just got to stop and reflect and really understand what's going on and why and what is this telling me that I maybe need to do something slightly different, or maybe I've not got to make the decision at this moment in time.
Nice. So if you had to start over again from scratch, what's the one thing you would do differently?
God, you've got some really good questions here. I think the first thing is, surround myself with two or three people, formally and informally, that can act as mentors and then a coach. So it's easy for me to say that now as somebody that coaches other people. But one of the phrases that I picked up, and I'm sure that you plus a number of the listeners will have heard this before, it's not about having your questions answered. It's not about answering your questions. It's about having your answers questioned. And I think for me, there's a real key thing there, that we need to be challenged. You know, our bodies and our minds will take the path of least resistance, because we're fundamentally lazy. So if we can find a way of doing things, you know, easier and better, we will do. But all of us need to be challenged. And I think it's about creating that space, all those people, all the environment, you know, whether you want to talk mentor, coach, mastermind, peer groups, boss, whatever you want to call it, is that we need to be challenged. And in my early years, I didn't get the challenge that I needed. And if I'd have had somebody just to kind of just pull me a little bit back online, then I would have made differing decisions. Mm-hmm. Having said all of that, I've got to where I am based on what's happened. So everything that's happened, there has to be a level of gratitude, because everything along the way has been a lesson.
I like that. That's great. What's the one piece of advice you would give to a young entrepreneur, or someone pivoting later in life to be an entrepreneur, starting out today in the current climate?
Know your own mind, and don't adhere to other people's mental models. And what I mean by that is, a lot of people say, well, there's no point in contacting anybody in August because everybody's off on holiday. And, you know, with all this stuff that's currently going on with Brexit, you know, people aren't making decisions and people aren't spending money. Excuse my French, it's bollocks. Is that what happens is that people put excuses or reasons and conditions for not doing things. Mm-hmm. And actually, what you've just got to do is you've just got to crack on. You've got to have the conversations with the right people. You've got to be in the right place at the, you know, with the right at the right time, and you've just got to keep going. And what tends to happen is that there's kind of a checks and measure throughout a process where if you wake up today and you do a certain stuff and you go, do you know what, that's not quite working, change and adapt. Mm-hmm. You know, change my behavior or my actions, which is going to give me a differing result. And I think what we tend to do, and I think culturally, I think very much so kind of within the UK, is we accept far too easily what other people say. You know, I'll give you a prime example of this. I was speaking to a friend of mine last week. She come across a house that she really, really, really wanted, but somebody else had put an offer in, and the estate agent had said, well, no, they're not taking any more viewings. So I said, well, have you actually heard from the horse's mouth that actually that is the case? So what we ended up doing, we spent, no, literally it was 15 minutes. We researched and worked out who owned the property. We found out that they had a business. We managed to get hold of their mobile phone, and she phoned the owner of the property and said, look, I might be completely out of the blue here, but this is the situation. I really, really want your house. I've done a little bit of research. You might call it stalking, but at the end of the day, the information was in the public domain. I understand that you've accepted an offer. And the owner of the house said, no, we actually wanted other people to come and view, but the estate agent said that we wanted to accept this
Rumbled.
Offer. So it just goes to show is that if you accept what other people tell you, you might miss out on the opportunity, and you've just got to be tenacious and hungry. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that people do business with people. So it's about building rapport and about building relationships. And actually, if you go at things by that mantra, I personally think that's the way that things get done.
Fantastic. And also, don't trust estate agents. What's the one piece? What's the best piece of advice that ever been given to you by a coach or a mentor?
So there was a story that somebody told me, and if the listeners want to Google this, it's in the public domain, and it talks about an ideology which is called good thing, bad thing, who knows.
Not heard of that one.
So the concept around it is, and I'm not going to necessarily tell the story verbatim, but a poor farmer decides to borrow a load of money from the local community to buy a horse. The horse then, that night, the horse leaves the stables and goes off into the wilderness. So the rest of the village turn around to the farmer and said, you know, you borrowed all of this money and now the horse has run away. And the farmer turns around and says, good thing, bad thing, who knows? The following day, the horse comes back with a whole load of other horses which were roaming in the wild, and the farmer secures the fences around the farm. So the horse has now got 11 horses when he just had one before. So the villagers come round and celebrate, and they turn around to the farmer and say, you know, you were down on your luck and you had all this bad luck, and now look what's happened. You know, you've got all of these horses. So the farmer just turns around and says, good thing, bad thing, who knows? Some time goes by, and then the farmer's son is riding one of the horses, falls off and breaks his leg, and really, really badly, to the extent that he ends up hobbling. Again, the village come round to him and say, you know, oh my God, you know, your son, he's not going to be able to work properly again. How do you feel and everything? He says, good thing, bad thing, who knows? Some time goes by again, and then the country is going to war. So all of the town's young men get called up to go into the army. And because the farmer's son isn't well enough and has got the poorly leg, he can't go. So all of the farmers come around and the village say, you know, your son's so lucky he's not gone off to war. And again, the farmer says, good thing, bad thing, who knows? The story goes on and on, but the premise around it is that actually when you look at situations as they happen, is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Actually, who knows at that moment in time? And how many times do we know from all our own situations is something really bad happens, but actually the learning and the steps and the things that happen as a result of that actually take us down a different path. So that kind of story and that mantra of good thing, bad thing, who knows, has really kind of given me a foundation of not panicking and not reacting too positively or too negatively when something happens.
Love that. That's brilliant. Okay, here's another hard one for you. If you were the Prime Minister, what legislation would you introduce to help entrepreneurs?
Wow, that is a really good question. I'm probably biased in where I'm saying this with regards to coming from a coaching background, but I will put legislation in place to create some sort of challenge or support non-exec director sort of role that each business would have to ensure that they were making better decisions to get better results, not just for the business, but also for the staff and the other stakeholders, as well as for the entrepreneur to make sure that they are maximizing on the opportunity.
Nice, I like that. That's really good. Yeah. Okay, what's your favorite business book and why?
So my favorite business book, if I'm allowed a cheeky plug, is the one that I wrote. So I about three and a half years ago, as a coach, I couldn't find, I wanted to help my clients kind of in between the coaching session. So typically I have a coaching session once a month with my clients. And what I was finding was that a lot of the information was being lost in between one meeting and the following meeting. Mm-hmm. So I looked on the market to see, is there some sort of journal or something that can help people, and found that there was a lot of stuff with regards to personal development, but not really much on the kind of business side. So with a speaker and coach friend of mine, a guy called Robert Craven, that's when we kind of created the Check-In Strategy Journal. And what it allows, first and foremost, me, but also the people that use it, is the opportunity to reflect from what's happened, but also to plan. To, you know, and you'll know this from your background, actually having focus and really being clear on what are the goals and the objectives on a day-to-day basis, so that you maintain the pulse rather than just go, well, I've got this big thing that I'm trying to achieve. You know, how do I eat the elephant one bite at a time? Okay, creating a format that allows you to take those little bites on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, the book for me allows me to stay on track. I work with it with my coach, and I also work with it with, you know, pretty much most of my clients as well.
Brilliant. Good stuff. And is that available on your website?
It's available on Amazon, or we have a website called checkinjournal.com.
Fantastic. And I've got your website down, fresh-mindset.co.uk.
Yes.
Fantastic. Adam, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, and thank you for taking the time to have this brief delve into the real life of a real entrepreneur. Can I ask you to share this with your group, with your tribe?
Absolutely.
And, on iTunes and YouTube. And just to let you know, because you probably didn't know this, every one of my guests receives a complimentary copy of my online course by the same name, The Entrepreneur Success Formula, worth a whopping $295. So that will be coming to your direct to your inbox.
I look forward to it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for being on the show. And here's to your own success, and see everyone soon.
Thank you very much, Damien.
Cheers. Thank you.